With you today. It's good to be home, in a sense, although this isn't my home. It's home when I'm here, because wherever I am with, whenever I am with family, I'm home. And also, it's a sense, it's a spiritual home for me as well. I have friends here, I have family here, I have people that I've known since high school. Some of my high school classmates are here. A person who went on a mission team with me 38 years ago is part of your congregation. And so even when I come here, it's not just family that I see, but I get to see old friends as well. And so that's always a delight. And also, it's good to be here because I know that your congregation has been very faithful in praying for me. And so you do this perhaps out of love for your pastor, Pastor Perry, and just by, you know, him encouraging you to pray for me, you have joined in prayer. But I think you've also done it out of a sense of calling, out of a sense of love for the Lord and for the Lord's work. And so today I want to have an opportunity to just share a little bit about myself and about the work that I've been doing in Mountain View, where I'm a church planter. And then also we're going to open the Word of God, and we're going to see how God worked in the heart and the lives of two church planters, Barnabas and Paul, and then Luke, who's on their team, and John Mark was on their team. But we're going to look at a passage where they get to come home after their first missionary journey. And their first missionary journey started in Acts chapter 13. And so if you want to, you can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, and you can just kind of quickly skim everything from Acts chapter 13 through Acts chapter 14 to Acts 14 verse 24. And that's going to be our scripture for today. Acts 14, 24 through 28. So let me read the scripture. And we see here that then they passed through Pisidia, and they came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that God, that they had fulfilled. And so you see there that they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. That was means that was their commissioning. Their commissioning was back in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, and it was there in this city of Antioch in Syria, not Antioch in Pisidia. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. Would you just pray with me for a moment? Father, we thank you for this word, and we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to understand how this little piece of scripture can apply to our lives. How this reconvening of a missionary team back in their home church that sent them out can give us insight into how we can be a church family that honors you and a church that does your will in the way that you desire it to be done. We pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see how you have been at work, not only in the history of the church back in the book of Acts, but you've been continually working from then until now, and that you are still at work here in this church, in New Hope Christian Reformed Church, and also how you're at work down in Mountain View in a little church plant that I lead called Compass. And I pray, Lord, that we would, as we look at all of these stories and as we see what you're doing, that we would praise you. That we would delight in the work that you have done, the work that you have fulfilled. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, it's great to be here. And so just as a bit of introduction, besides knowing that I am Pastor Perry's brother and I have just as few hairs as he does, those are the obvious things. I'm a church planter in Mountain View. And if you've been in New Hope for a while, as I mentioned, several of you have been praying for me, and I just want to thank you for that. We've been planting in Mountain View for about 2 years. It was in September of 2014 that we had our first worship services, and our first worship service was in the German International School of the Silicon Valley. So we continue to rent there. We rent a little space, a hall there, and we set up every Sunday, and we tear down every Sunday, and we have our worship there, and we have a little classroom that we rent for children's ministry too. And as I come here today, I come and I see all that you have here, and I have building envy, I have VBS envy, I have children's ministry envy. It's like, wow, when are we going to get to that point in our church plant that we're going to have directors like Krista and Jenna? Well, at least like Krista. I know Jenna, so I don't know if I want... No, yeah, I would love to have Jenna be there too. But, you know, just when are we going to have this in our church? Because we've got about... We got, on average, two-year-olds in our children's ministry right now. So it's a very small church that started out with just my family and I being encouraged to plant a church back in Mountain View. And it was a very scary thing to say yes to that encouragement. We'd been in Mountain View, and we knew how difficult it was to reach people for Jesus in Mountain View. And we'd lived there, and I had pastored there in a church, and it was like, this is going to be challenging, but if this is really what God wants us to do, then we should do it. The title for my sermon is, When God Opens a Door, Enter. And this is something that we felt called to do. We felt that God was opening the door for us to plant this church in Mountain View, and we were going to enter, even if it was just five people to start a church with no people and really very little budget to get it started. We were going to go for it. We're going to see what God has to do. And at that time, I was an interim pastor for a church, and I had been there for 2 years, and my last Sunday there, there was a wedding. And in California, we're probably a little bit more casual in our churches than even this. And so on that Sunday, I was probably preaching with just without a tie, but I had to grab my suit to go to the wedding. And so as I was grabbing my suit, I was praying about going to this wedding, and I felt that I had a little whisper, a little prompting from God that I was going to meet someone at this wedding that was going to be part of our church plant core team. And so I was all eager to go to the wedding. I had my radar up. I'm looking all over thinking, who is it that God wants me to bring into this church plant core team? Because, you know, you can't plant a church without any people. And so I was there, and I was at the wedding. I bumped into a guy that I knew from speaking at his church at a retreat about 15 years earlier. And when I saw him, he said, what are you doing now? And I said, well, we're in Mountain View, and we're praying about planting a church in Mountain View. And he kind of cocked his head back like this, and he said, really? He said, and he's an elder of a church in Berkeley, which is about 55 miles away from Mountain View. He says, we have a small group Bible study that meets in Mountain View during the week, and they all drive to church 55 miles to worship with us on Sundays. And we've been talking to them about planting a church, but they don't have a pastor to lead them. And I said, that sounds great, because I have no people to lead. And he said, well, let's get you guys together. And so that was the beginning. That was the genesis of Compass, our church plant. So I met with that Bible study group over several months, and we started to pray about this and talk about strategy and mission and vision and values and doctrine and making sure that we were in alignment. And we decided that, yes, this was something that God wanted us to do. And God was opening the door for them too, and they decided to enter. And over the past 2.5 years, it hasn't been easy. It's been quite challenging. The very first time we did an outreach, we went out and we hung door hangers on the doors of the neighborhood around us in this little neighborhood. And as we hung the door hangers, and these were cute little Christmas designs, and we created the door hangers by taping a nice little invitation card to a candy cane and then hanging the candy cane on the door. These were Pinterestable. So they were so good, you know, that you would post them on Facebook. They were that pretty. And it was like, this is something that I thought, yes, this is going to win a lot of people. They're all going to want to, they're going to want to come to this church that makes these cute little designs. And nobody came as a result of the door hangers. And I thought, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought it was. How are we going to do this? And so New Year's, we said, okay, we put about 500 invitations out for Christmas, and we didn't get any new guests as a result of those door hangers. We better double it. So New Year's, we did 1,000. And we printed door hangers, and it was like, New Year, new beginning, come to Compass. And we put 1,000 door hangers in the neighborhood. And we got two people to come. They were an old Russian couple. They could barely speak any English. The gentleman who came up to me, his English was a little better than his wife's, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "You were terrific. Your message was amazing. I understood four words: love, love, together, love." And I thought, they're never coming back. They're never going to come back because this isn't a good fit for them. And I thought, oh, this is going to be so hard. Our first guests who respond to these things, and they don't fit. How are we going to grow a church out of nothing? Well, I had it easy. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, when they went on their mission, they went out for 2.5 years to multiple cities to plant churches. And when they came back, it says they got the whole church together. They got everyone together and they shared their stories of God at work. So if you look at that, it says, verse 27, it says, "And when they arrived, they gathered the whole church and they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." And then it says, "And then they remained no little time with the disciples." And I see three things in this, these two verses, that I would just like to encourage you guys to consider as you think about how you can do church and how God can work in your life. The first thing is they got everyone together. Like I said, when I'm here, it feels so good to be home because I'm home and I get to be together, and it has been a long time since our family's been all together. And there's just something really wonderful about this. And Paul and Barnabas, they'd been their leaders in this church in Antioch before they got sent out by the Holy Spirit to go on their mission trip. And when they came back, they wanted everybody to be there. They wanted everybody to celebrate what God had done in the last 2.5 years, because from Acts 13 and 14, you're going to see all the various things that God had done in about a 2 to 3 year period. So they set out in about 46 AD, and they returned in 48 AD. So some parts of 46, all of 47, part of 48, they've been gone on mission trip. And they get everybody together, and then they share their stories of God at work. They share the stories of what God had done. And if you think about what God had done, it's an amazing collection of stories. So they set out from Antioch the first time, and they went to Cyprus. And when they went to Cyprus, they started in the synagogue, and God opened a door for them to preach there. And then they went to Paphos, and they had an opportunity to preach to the proconsul. And as they were preaching, there was this demonized guy there, and he was struck with blindness, and the proconsul believed. Now, you may have heard about this as you've studied the book of Acts. And if the church was gathering around, they would say, "You probably already heard this from John," because he came back after they had been in Cyprus. And he said, "And then we went on to Pisidian Antioch, and the whole city came to hear us." Imagine that. The whole city coming to hear them preach. I wish I could get even one or two people to come and hear me preach in Mountain View, you know, that they would respond to the invitations. So we stepped up from going to these 1,000 door hangers. We said, next time we do outreach, we're going to do 5,000 postcards. We're going to hit all the homes in over a mile radius, and we're going to see who God brings. And we got one person to come as a result of 5,000 postcards, invitations to come to church. Now, that guy is still with us, And he's stepping up and growing and serving alongside of us. And so we rejoice in that. But I'm like, look at this and I see the whole city. This is amazing. How did God do that? I mean, just think about that. You're hearing your missionaries that you sent out. And they come and they come back and they're excited about what God has done, how a proconsul has believed Jesus in Crete, and then how they went to Pisidian and Antioch, and the whole city comes to hear them. And then Paul says, but we were rejected by the Jews. So we had to take the word to the Gentiles. And then they moved on and they went to Iconium. And it says in that when they moved on to Iconium, a great number of people believed. But there was jealousy there, and the people from Iconium wanted to stone him. So they left for Lystra. And then they went to Lystra, and they healed the man there, and many people believed. But then the guys from Iconium that didn't like him, well, they had followed him to Lystra, and they stoned him. And they left him for dead. So if I ever have any comparison envy here, I'll take Mountain View and them not coming to church over getting kicked out of town time and time again and getting stoned. Have you ever been hit by a fastball when you were playing baseball? How many of you played baseball? All right. All you guys that played baseball, when you're standing in there and one of those guys who has a great arm who can throw really fast but has no control is on the mound, you're shaking in your boots because you know it's coming, you know it's coming hard, and you know you might have to get out of the way. Do you remember that? And do you remember the time when you couldn't get out of the way? And you remember the sting on your arm or your hip or your side? Now imagine being pelted with rocks by people who are throwing as hard as they can throw. And they're just pelting you. It's not just one stinger from a fastball. It's stinger after stinger after stinger after stinger after stinger until they think you're dead and then they leave you on the side of the road. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul in Lystra. And so then they left him there for dead. The amazing thing about this story is that it says when Paul awakened and the disciples cared for him, that he got back up and he went back into the city. And if I'm there in Antioch hearing my missionaries tell this story, I'm going to be sitting at the edge of my seat and I'm going to be going, "Are you crazy? You did what? They tried to kill you and they left you there thinking you were dead. And then when you woke up, you went back? You went back into the very same city where they were trying to kill you? Maybe you got one to the noggin and it doesn't work anymore." And not only did he do that once, but if we continue on and we see the missionary journey, that they left Lystra and they went to Derbe. And there they went to Derbe, and it says that a great many people believed. They had preached the gospel to that city and they had many disciples. And this is really the first place where nothing goes wrong. In their mission, every time they went to a place, their gospel would advance and then there would be an attack. Some kind of response where something would go wrong. They would be opposed. The gospel would be opposed. They would be driven out of town. They would be stoned. They finally get to Derbe. They preach the gospel. They have many disciples. If it were me, that's where I would set up camp. That'd be the place where I'm going, okay, this is a nice little town. It's quiet here. I haven't been in jail. Nobody's throwing stuff at me. Let's do church here. But the story continues. as the missionaries are telling their story with their friends back in Antioch, they're saying, and then we turned around and we went back to encourage the believers in all those other places. And again, I'm going, what? I would have liked to have been there when they made that decision. I'd like to have been in that little council meeting where Paul and Barnabas and Luke are trying to decide, what's God want us to do next? And one of them says, I think we should go back to Lystra and to Iconium. And they go, what? There's mobs of people there that want us dead. No, I really think we should go back to Lystra and Iconium. We need to go there. We need to encourage the believers. And that's exactly what they did. And so now we're in Acts chapter 14. And we see that they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And they went there for these reasons. Three reasons. It says in the scriptures that they went there to strengthen their souls. You know how encouraging that would be? To see the people that led you to Jesus, who got driven out of town, courageously go back there. You know how wonderful that would be? You know how much that would bless their soul when they see them do that? It says that they encourage them to continue in their faith. That's the second thing. And then they wanted to remind them. They wanted to remind them it wasn't going to be easy. There was going to be tribulation. There were going to be tough times. It wasn't going to be easy. And then they get to go home. And then they're there and they say, now we're here with you and it's so good to be back with you and to celebrate all that God's done in these past 2.5 years since you sent us out. And then it says in verse 28 of Acts 14, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And they remained no little time, the ESV, with the disciples. The message says, and they settled down for a long, leisurely visit with the disciples. And you know how wonderful that would have been for Paul and Barnabas? Having gone through that 2.5 year journey, that struggle, those battles, those fights, and everything that they had to deal with, to just be able to go home and be there with the other disciples and be encouraged and just to stay there for a while and just to rest. You know how good it feels to just get home after a long day's work? And home doesn't have to be a big palace. All it has to be is a small place with your favorite chair where you can just, you just sit and you can just rest. And they were able to go home to their church and be supported by the church that had sent them out 2.5 years earlier. And I think this is such a beautiful picture of the church and the way that the church functioned. They got everybody together. They shared the stories of what God was doing. And then they just says, now we get to just be together. We get to just fellowship. We get to just chill. We get to just kind of step away from the battle for a while. And we get to refresh. And then when the next time had come and they were ready to launch out again, then they were sent out again into the second missionary journey. But that's more than I can tell in one sermon. So we won't go there. But we see how when they were there, they were telling in great detail how God had used them to throw the door of faith wide open so people of all nations could come streaming in. Isn't that a beautiful picture? How Paul and Barnabas, they went into these hard places, the places where they were opposed, and the gospel was there ahead of them. God had already opened the door. God had already thrown the door open. Now, a lot of times Christians use this thing, this lingo of God opening doors. And sometimes I think Christians, we kind of get weird in that. And we'll say, oh yeah, if God, you know, closes a door, he'll open a window or something like that. But actually, all that lingo probably connects to this verse. It's actually a biblical thing that God does open doors. But look very carefully at what door God opened. What is the door that the Scripture says God opened? And they declared all that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. A lot of times when we think, oh, if God's going to open a door for us, it's going to be really good. It's going to be, God's going to open a door to this new job. God's going to open a door to this new opportunity. God's going to open a door and we're excited. God's opening a door for us and this is going to be wonderful. Well, God opened a door for them to go on this missionary journey and it was hard. But along the way, God was opening another door. The most important door of all. He was opening the door to the human heart. Hearts that were not conditioned and receptive and ready to receive the gospel. Hearts of Gentile people who had been for centuries separated from the gospel. And God was opening the door to their hearts. And that's what kept motivating Paul and Barnabas and Luke to continue on in their mission. They could see God was at work. And they wanted to partner with God. I titled this message, "If God Opens a Door, Enter." And I want you to be thinking, I want you to be looking. What doors is God opening right around me? Maybe God's opening the door to people in your community through your VBS. Maybe there's a crack in a door in somebody's heart. And God wants you to enter into that space and have that conversation that's going to help them come to a full understanding of Jesus and of His grace and His love. I want to encourage you. Maybe God's opening a door for you in your workplace. Now, in Mountain View, as we've been planning a church, little by little, God's opening the door and inviting people into the church and bringing people in. So now we have a small congregation instead of just a small group. And another thing about our church, we planted our church in a part of Mountain View that we call the Mountain View Triangle. And to illustrate this, I'm going to just use this cross and triangle here because where we live and work, there's a freeway that comes through this way. It's 85. And there's a freeway that cuts across this way. It's 237. And there's a freeway that comes this way. It's 101. And then there's a major street, actually, that cuts the triangle right in half. And so I'm looking at this. I'm thinking there's a... And right over here on this side, here's the school where we meet. And all of this area are homes. But on this side and over here are major companies. Google has one of their big campuses here. They have another big campus here. Symantec is over here. LinkedIn is over here. Microsoft is over here. And we said, if we're going to plant a church in this community, we're not only going to try to reach out to the people that have their bedrooms in the community, we're going to try to reach out to all the people that work in this community as well. And so, feeling compelled to do that, we just started praying, God, if you want us to go into these workplaces, please give us the opportunity. Lead us to the believers that are already there and give us a connection to them. About 2 years ago, I had a meeting with five people from Google. And I said, I feel that God wants us to help you and encourage you in your workplace. And here's my vision. I would like to get as many of you together as possible. And I'd met a lot of them individually. And I said, I'd like to get as many of you together as possible. We'll have breakfast or lunch together. And we'll share ideas and I'll share our vision of what God could do here at Google. And so they responded to the email and they said they set up a breakfast. They booked a conference room at Google. And five guys showed up, and I said, here's what I think God's leading us to do. First of all, this is a workplace fellowship that we're starting. So we want to make sure that we honor God at work. Work is meant to be part of our worship. It's part of everything that we do, that it's the Lord God that we're serving and not Google or Facebook or LinkedIn. But it's God that we're serving. So we want to have that focus, that we're honoring God at work. Secondly, as I've met with you and talked with you, you've been telling me how spiritually deadening it is in the workplace. So we need to gather together to encourage each other. And thirdly, I think we need to learn how to love our coworkers like Jesus would love them if he had our jobs. And fourthly, let's just pray. Let's just pray and see what God desires to do in this workplace. Pray for the leadership, pray for our coworkers, pray for revival, and let's see what God does. So we started that group with five people. And soon after, we launched a second group that was a lunch group. And now there are about five different prayer groups at Google. And God just kept on, God just kept on opening the door for believers to gather together in their workplace and try to reach out to their coworkers. And I remember I was at a prayer meeting with our core group, that first small group from Compass. And we were praying, we were saying, God's opening the door at Google, and God's opened the door at Apple, and God's opened the door at LinkedIn. And I said, I really think God wants to open a door for us at Facebook. And I know one woman that's a Christian that works there, but she's on maternity leave, so I can't go there unless an employee comes in and meets me at the door and badges me in. And so I can't get in there. And there's this guy in my core team, and he hears this prayer request, and we pray. And 2 weeks later, he calls me up, and he says, hey, remember prayer meeting? And I said, yeah. And he said, remember how you're talking about how you feel like God wants to open a door for us at Facebook? And I said, yeah. He says, I just got a job there. He said, so I'll be the one that will help you get into Facebook and minister to the people at Facebook. So I said, okay. First of all, remember, you're there for work, and you want to do an excellent job at work, so get acclimated to your job. Learn everything you need to. Take 2 months before we even start to just make sure that you know what you're supposed to do so that you're doing an excellent job at Facebook. And after 2 months, then let's start to reach out to this community at Facebook. And so 2 months later, he found a small group that was... They have a Facebook page that is Christians at Facebook, and he pinged that Facebook page, and he says, hey, I'm a new employee at Facebook, and my pastor and I, we have a heart for what God's doing in the workplace. Would anybody like to meet us? And he got a response back from two women that worked at Facebook, and we sat down and had lunch together. And when we had lunch together, Christine, who was leading a small group at Facebook, she said, you won't believe this. You're such an answer to prayer. She said, saying this to Jack, she says, we've had a group, and the leader of our group moved away to Boston, and he kind of handed me the baton, and I feel like the group's not really thriving. And I've been praying that God would send somebody to help me lead this fellowship at Facebook. And she says, in fact, it was like Wednesday where they would gather in a room in Facebook, and she went into the room to pray, and there was nobody else there. None of the other employees came, and she was all alone. And she said, I just got down on my knees, and I said, God, send somebody to Facebook that will help me lead this group. And she says, and then after I prayed that prayer, I got your message. She said that to Jack. And it's like, this is amazing. Look how God's working. Look how God's, like, we're feeling called to enter into these workplaces. And she's praying that God would bring somebody alongside of her. And now the Facebook group has a Friday Bible study every week that anywhere from 6 to 12 people attend. A Tuesday morning prayer group every Tuesday morning. And now they're just adding a weekly Wednesday worship time. Can you believe this? at Facebook, in the Silicon Valley, people are going into their music room with their guitars on Wednesday nights and they're singing praise songs. This is so amazing that God is opening a door to places like Google and Facebook and LinkedIn and Apple. We had a gathering where I invited people that I've met in all of these workplace fellowships to come together. And we had 120 people come into that hall at the school from more than a dozen companies. When we were there, basically this is what we did. We got everyone together. And we let everybody start to share testimonies of how God was at work in their workplace. And then we just stayed for a while so that we could meet each other, we could encourage each other. And we've now done 5 of these gatherings. Our last one was a bonfire in a park. And there's this intern at Facebook, and he was so excited. He said he got out his phone, and he's like standing there, and he's doing this and videoing it and sending it to all of his friends. He said, "Can you believe this is happening? Can you believe we are gathered, people from Google and Apple and Facebook and LinkedIn, and we're worshiping Jesus together? Can you believe this is happening?" And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being part of that. Because for us, in our journey, it's been a long, hard road. And some of you have known that, you know, our season in Mountain View was more than 2 years. I went into a church and expecting, you know, great things, and there was moral failure, and the bottom fell out of the church, and there were layoffs, and all of a sudden I was jobless, and you were praying for God to provide me a job, and then He provided me a part-time interim job, and then He led me to this church plant. And you guys have been praying with me over these last 5 years where I've been kind of lost and trying to find my way back into what God wants me to do. And so I want to thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your prayers are being answered. And I just want to encourage you that God doesn't just want to open doors in workplaces in Mountain View. Maybe He wants to open a door in your workplace. Maybe He wants to use you as a witness where you work. Or in your neighborhood. Maybe He's opening the door to the person that sits in the cubicle next to you or lives across the street from you. Maybe He's opening the door to their heart. And if you see God opening the door, I want to encourage you. Enter. Enter. It may not be easy. You may find yourself in a 2-year journey of lots of difficulties like Paul did, or very slow responses like I've experienced. But just enter. Just go into that space. That space that God is leading you to go into. And join Him in His work. And you don't have to be anyone special. You don't have to be somebody who's fully trained or extroverted or anything like that. Because God's already there. God's already at work there in their heart. In that place. And you're just coming alongside of Him at His invitation to do what He desires to do in you and through you. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank You that You are already at work. And that Even when your thing that you're doing is not an easy thing. And even when you take us down difficult paths, you can strengthen us to carry on the work that you desire for us to do. We thank you for the ways that you've opened doors to the hearts of people. Those that were recorded here in these cities of Antioch and Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Paphos. Lord, thank you for opening the doors of the hearts of the people there. And I pray that you would keep on opening doors in hearts of people here in Spokane. And that you would give us the courage to respond to those open doors. Those opportunities when we have an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody that can lead to a spiritual conversation that can help them come to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that you would spring doors open in this neighborhood, that you would use what has already happened at VBS to just soften hearts and create relationships and build bridges so that people would desire to come to New Hope and to experience the goodness of the gospel that we experience here. I pray, Lord, that you would open doors for those who are here in their workplaces to be able to bond together maybe with two or three other Christians and create a little missional community, a little church there in their workplace that can influence the workplaces of Spokane just like you want to influence the workplaces of the Silicon Valley. I pray, Lord, that you would even open the door of our own hearts. Because sometimes that's the door that we slam and we keep closed. And we put a sign on that says, stay out. And if we have done that to you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would open that door. That you'd help us to take down that sign. And that we would let you enter into our hearts to do the work that you desire. That we would let you come in and by the power of the Holy Spirit break away the things that don't belong there. And replace them with your holiness and your goodness and your grace so that we can be at home with you. And we can just stay with you for a while and see what you want to do in our own hearts and in our own lives. We welcome you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.